This morning we want to just take a few minutes and be reminded of the wonders of the Lord Jesus Christ. And oftentimes Christmas can become just a wonderful time of year, and we get used to celebrating Christmas. But I thought it would be good for us to be again reminded of the wonders of the Lord Jesus. And we have a simple outline today. It's all parallel P's, planned, prophesied, pictured, proclaimed, and propitious. The wonders of His coming. If we think of the coming of the Lord, first of all, we want to think about the fact that His coming was planned in eternity. Now, we recognize that we can't think that well. We can't think in that dimension, that the coming of the Lord was planned in eternity past. But we are reminded of 1 Peter chapter 1. And certainly when you think of all the different religions of the world today, and their message and their practice, it is all very, very recent, if you think about it. But the Lord Jesus, His coming was planned in eternity past. That is an amazing fact, isn't it? 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, verse 18, "For as much as you know, ye are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your feigned conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." We see the same contrast in these verses. We find the vain tradition of their fathers, very recent past, the vain tradition of their fathers, as contrasted to God's plan before the foundation of the world, incomprehensible. But our Savior, His coming to this earth was planned in eternity past. I think of Ephesians chapter 1. We get another insight of the coming of the Savior. And of course, the coming of the Savior is not just merely the incarnation in which the Lord Jesus, God the Son, the eternal Son, took on human flesh. But it is all centered around God's plan of salvation, redeeming, rescuing, saving sinful man from his helpless, hopeless, dark estate. But in Ephesians chapter 1, we are reminded in verse 3 and 4, "Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world." God had a plan. And it tells us that God had a plan of salvation long in eternity past. God has this plan of salvation. The plan that the Lord Jesus would leave heaven's glory. The plan that the Lord Jesus would die on Calvary's cross. The plan that was to be in Him. Man would be saved from his sin. That mankind would be saved by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. His coming is planned in eternity past, something that's far beyond us today. You know, I think one of the big problems today is people get disconnected with God's plan. And God has a big plan. And God has a plan. And He planned that plan in Jesus Christ long, long, long ago. Man has always had the problem of being short-sighted. Man has always had the problem just seeing things from the now perspective. God has a big plan. Are you a part of God's plan? Are you a part of God's plan? Have you surrendered to God's plan? You know, God's plan is bigger than us. Isn't it amazing? We live in a world of over 7-8 billion people. You know what? They don't even know how many people there are on the earth. Now, with infrared technology, they're getting a little bit better idea that probably the earth is a lot bigger populated than we even know. But how many billions of people have lived being totally oblivious to God's plan for their life? God's plan for mankind. Now, the coming of the Lord has not only been planned, but obviously been prophesied from the very beginning. From the very beginning, He has let man in on this plan that was in place long before man even knew there needed to be a plan. And we think of Genesis 3:16, 15, of God revealing His plan to man and the prophecy of the coming of the Son of Man. Genesis 3:15, the Lord speaking to Satan, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." We have this great prophecy of what is the big picture today. The big picture that many people do not comprehend today is there is a big conflict between the seed of Satan and the seed of the woman. There's been a great conflict throughout the ages between Satan and his ungodly seed versus the seed of the woman, the godly seed, and the seed of which would ultimately be the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a big picture here. You know, I'm wondering today, are you living in light of the big picture? Are you living in light of the big picture? Why did Jesus Christ have to come? Because there is a huge battle going on. A battle between Satan and God. The forces of evil, forces of light. The ungodly seed and the godly seed. And of course, in all of that, in the godly seed, of course, especially in the Old Testament, the godly seed was all about. It was through that seed that Jesus Christ was going to be born. The battle still rages. Because now the godly seed is about spreading the message of Jesus Christ. Spreading this message and spreading His kingdom. And there's a battle there. Because Satan is still battling the godly seed. And Satan wants to stop the spread of the message of Jesus Christ. This is the coming of a Savior. We think of Genesis 12, where the Lord said to Abraham, "In thee shall all the nations of the world be blessed." In thee shall all the nations of the world be blessed. Of course, Matthew 1:1, Jesus Christ, the son of Abraham. We have Genesis 49, verse 10, the tribe of Judah. And thee, the scepter shall not pass. Narrowing down. Of course, we can go throughout the scripture. We're reminded of Micah 5:2, Bethlehem. Throughout the Bible, you know, we're thinking of even those great prophecies. And she shall bear a son. She shall bear a son. And thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Prophesied a virgin birth, unheard of, impossible. A virgin birth is because this is God's plan. Prophesied, men have been let in on God's plan. This whole issue has been pictured throughout the Bible. I love the Bible pictures of Christ, don't you? I think of the first picture of Christ in the Bible, right there in the Garden of Eden, the innocent lamb whose blood was shed to cover the sin of Adam and Eve. Right from the beginning, the Lord Jesus. Isaac, the promised son. Go take thy son, Isaac, and sacrifice him. Yeah, on Mount Moriah. The exact same place Jesus was crucified. Joseph. Well, God himself will provide a sacrifice. There it is. The Lord Jesus. Joseph, the beloved son, rejected by his brethren. And yet the Savior of the family, Jesus, the beloved son, rejected by his people. The sacrifice is the Old Testament, prophetic. Thou shalt take a male out of the flock without blemish. Shall lay your hands upon his head. Shall shed his blood. The Lord Jesus. Pictured throughout the Word of God. The Lord Jesus. His birth proclaimed by angels. I think it'd be worthy to go there to Luke 2 and just take a moment to think of his birth. You think of all the false religions in the world, there's not a one of them that the birth of its leader was proclaimed by the mighty angels of heaven. Amen? There's only one. The Lord Jesus. What a great thing. The proclamation of the coming of the Savior by the angels themselves. Luke chapter 2, of course, verse 9, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for I behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Huh. Good tidings of great joy. That's almost an understatement, you know. I mean, can words really, what words could you say to describe what was really happening? Good words. Good tidings of great joy. That's big. Which shall be to all people. The Savior of all mankind. Proclaimed by angels. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude. I'd like to know how many that multitude was. Wouldn't you? How big was that multitude? Wow. You know, thinking of this, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. Now the angels marvel. You know, the angels marvel that God the Son would leave heaven's glory and be conceived in a virgin. The angels marvel. And the Bible tells us the angels marvel as they look down from heaven and they look at the church. The marvel of God saving lost sinners and changing their life. They marvel how this could be so real. How this could be, this could happen. That hell-bound, darkened, depraved sinners, their life could be changed. And they could gladly, willingly serve God with a holy, blameless life. Wow. Proclaimed by angels. What it was like. I told my Sunday school class today that when I visited Israel, we were in Bethlehem. And we were in the hills outside of Bethlehem. And went by a sheepfold and saw the man lift off the rock off of the well. The sheep came and drank their water. They left the sheepfold and went out to the hillside to graze. I mean, just like 2,000 years ago. You know, just the simplest of men, you know, you talk about the lowest of people and the fact that very meager living, you don't make money raising sheep. You might stay alive, but you spend your life taking care of them for very little. Very meager existence. And just like it was 2,000 years ago. And we were on a hillside there by that sheepfold, just overlooking Bethlehem. And, you know, almost nothing between those hills and Bethlehem. No buildings, just ground. And the preacher at our little service there was preaching about Bethlehem, talking about Ruth and the Moabitish woman who was saved and became the seed of the Savior. Talking about David and talking about this humble place and talking about the angels singing there before the praising God. Huh. The plan of God is from eternity past is being fulfilled. Wow. And as we were there, and right at that moment, on the other side of the hill, we didn't know it, the Mormon Tabernacle Choir was taping Christmas carols. They weren't angels, but they was angelic. Amazing. But that's nothing like the multitude of angels that sang that day. For they really knew what they were singing about. They really understood that this was the Son of God who took on human flesh. They really understood it. They marveled. It's proclaimed by angels. The Lord Jesus, the wonders of Jesus. And then we think of his propitious death. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:21, "And God hath made him sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Oh. A propitious death. God made him to be sin for us. Amazing. The substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus just throws away all the religions of the world and their works for heaven. Works for forgiveness of sins. A propitious death. Amazing, isn't it? The wrath of God was satisfied. Because there's a perfect sacrifice that was sacrificed, the Lord Jesus. And so it's now, not by works, but by faith. Because the payment has been made. And you think about it, the wonder of the Lord Jesus dying on Calvary's cross. There's so much about the Lord Jesus that is so, so amazingly distinct from all the false religion of the world. It's all summed up in the Lord Jesus. God was satisfied with his death. The payment was made. I'm thinking of that great verse in the Bible as we close. 1 John 3:5. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. He was manifested to take away our sins. He shall save his people from their sins. Confusing day we live in. But the Bible's not confusing. He was manifested to take away our sins. Be not deceived, the Bible says, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. He was manifested to take away our sins. You know, it's far beyond saying a little prayer and having the priest say your sins are forgiven. He came to snatch us out of darkness. He came to rescue us from the bondage of sin. He came to rescue us from our darkness of our soul. He came to rescue us from the blindness of our mind and our heart. He came to rescue us from our selfish, proud spirit. He came to rescue us from the penalty of hell. He came to save us from our sins. Wow. That's why He came. To gather unto Him a people that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. And that's not just a positional truth. It is a positional truth. But it goes far beyond that. The wonders of His coming. On this day, a day in one sense, if you are saved, we owe our everything to this day. To what we celebrate, the coming of the Savior. We owe our everything to that most significant day, the coming of the Savior. Very trite illustration as I close, but yesterday Dale Keller and Tim Keller came, picked up Tim's tools that had been in our workshop for 5 years now, and we got to visit with them, and Dale and Sandy Keller, his mom and his father and mother were there, and we took them over to the staff house and showed them the work of the boys and the people there. And as they were leaving, Tim said something to me. He said, I can't remember exactly how he said it, but something like, because we had just talked about how we had met Dale. And he made my office back there, and it had changed our whole woodworking. And Tim said, "Yeah, it's amazing that that day you met my dad, that changed your life forever." And I hadn't thought about it, but it did. Just changed my whole a woodworking career for the rest of my life, meeting that one man. And other people have been affected by it. You enjoy it today in our auditorium because I met one man. I wonder, have you met the God-man? If you have, you can say that your life has been changed forever, because you met the God-man, the Lord Jesus. He came, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, but the world knew Him not. True today too. And He came unto His own. Many people raised Christian. And of course in that day, the Jewish people, and He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But contrast, isn't it? Stark contrast from the crowd. Jesus said, "Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there be on. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting. And few there be that are. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God." Oh, it's not religion. It's coming to know Jesus Christ. If you have come to know Him, you can say your life has been changed for eternity. Amen. May it be so that if not, today would be appropriate day. Wonderful day to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Not about him, but to come on his ground, the humble Savior, as a humble sinner, turning to him, receiving him as your own. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we rejoice today that on this Christmas day, we can not only celebrate the fact that our Savior rose from the dead and gives life to new life to all those who believe. We also have this unique privilege of being reminded and observing in our hearts your coming. Such a momentous occasion. And Lord, I'm sure when we get to heaven, we will be just totally overwhelmed by the fact of it, the reality of it, the magnitude of it. We'll probably, in one sense of the word, marvel at our dullness to it in life. But Lord, you are worthy to be praised. And might, Lord of all things, might we be glorious in our praise of you today. Might we marvel over and over and over at your mercy and condescension and love, your mighty plan, and that, Lord, as the psalmist said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? That you would love us so, that you'd send your only begotten Son into the world, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, God. May the truth grip us. Might we say, oh, my Lord and my God. With heads bowed and eyes closed, perhaps the Lord is speaking to your heart today. You say, oh, I know about Christmas. I know about the Son of Man. But you're talking about a momentous occasion where you really meet the Son of God and your life is changed forever. Nope, that's not true of me. And you say, Pastor, would you please pray for me? God is speaking to my heart. I have yet to truly meet Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of my life. And I need him. I need him desperately. Would you pray for me that God could work in my heart more to bring me to a place of true repentance and faith where I could turn and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would be my Savior. Heads bowed and eyes closed, you just simply raise your hand. If I could see it, I could remember you in closing prayer. Anyone here today? Okay. Praise God for that. Anyone else? Okay. Praise God for that. Anyone else? Pray for me. Pray to God that he'd work in my heart that I might trust Christ. Lord, thank you for these hands today, for those who have simple hearts, hungry souls, needy. I pray that in your mercy you would work in their hearts. And now bless, Lord, this day in which we remember the coming of the Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.